Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 11th of October, 2009. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy from MBC. This week was Tim's first official speaker as our associate minister, as he was inducted on Saturday, the 10th of October. So we'll go and join Tim for his sermon. He's speaking on I Have a Dream. The reading is from Ephesians 1, and Andy will introduce the sermon.
And Helen and Harry can witness that they saw me running up and down the high street like an idiot, because as I was walking up the high street, I felt prompted, it's a silly thing, but I felt prompted to go into this shop to buy Tim a helium balloon. And I didn't have any money on me, so I passed Harry and Helen going up and down because I had to go and get some money in order to pay for it. And those of you that were here will know that as part of his sermon, Jez, in encouraging us, used the picture of a bloke with lots of helium balloons. I couldn't believe it. It was only a silly thing. But I felt, Tim, we're so pleased to have you and your family here. And I just feel the Lord wants you to fly. He just wants you at this time in your ministry here just to fly, untethered. But just to be full, so full of the Spirit that you and your ministry is a delight to you, a delight to us, and a delight to God. And we're so thrilled to have you here. And I'm just going to pray for you as you bring God's word. Lord, we know that we are dependent upon your Spirit. Lord, as Tim brings your word to us this morning, even though he's prepared it, Lord, he's dependent upon your Spirit for delivering it to us, that it may not just be wise words, but in itself might be a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And so, Lord, for him today and in his future ministry in this place, we ask you to fill him up with your Holy Spirit, that he may fly, directed only by you, untethered, but holding only onto you. Bless him, Lord. Bless the word that he brings to us today for your glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You're going to nick my sermon again, aren't you? He's done that before.
I have.
He's done that before. What he didn't tell you was that my helium balloon had It's a Boy on it. With the idea that being inducted is similar to being induced. So I thought I'd better fill you in on the details of this balloon. It's very nice. It's in our lounge. It's looking very happy. It's great. Well, today, if you haven't got the thought yet, is my first proper preach. Thank you. So all the other ones you can ignore, can't you? Because, you know, they weren't real ones until I'm actually here officially. And I did want to personally say a big thank you to those who made yesterday so special. And particularly for Chris, who can now stop pulling her hair out. Which I know it's been a big, big pressure on her. So just a big thank you to all who were involved in putting that together. And I sensed as I was preparing for today that it might be a good opportunity to just share a little bit of my own sort of vision and sense of purpose in being church and in us being church. And so today I'm going to take us through just some random thoughts, really. I hope you're okay for a random morning of sort of ideas and comprehension. So random thoughts about us being church, but based on some thinking from Ephesians chapter 1. So I'm just going to take us, hopefully it's going to pop up on the screen any moment now, and I've entitled it, What's the Dream? What's the dream of being church together? Would you like to read with me? It will come up on the screen. If you want to look in the Bible, it's Ephesians 1:15-23, but you can do it from the screen if you like. Let's read together. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, my mind was drawn when I read through that and when I was praying about this morning to probably one of the most famous speeches in the modern era. And it's by Martin Luther King. And I want to just hear a little bit of what he wanted to say. This isn't very long, so hopefully it will work.
50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
I open my mouth to the Lord, and I won't turn back. I will go, I shall go, to see what the end's gonna be.
Whoa, who's that yonder dressed in red?
This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I shall go,
I will go,
I shall go,
to see what the end's gonna be,
in the morning,
to see what the end's gonna be,
in the evening,
to see what the end's gonna be,
midnight hour.
I don't know about you, but I'm really still stirred by that. When you hear some of his words, people wouldn't be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character. Now, Martin Luther King had a dream, and it was based in his Christian faith. It was based in his understanding of God and justice and hope and joy and vision of the world being different to how it is now or then. In 1963. And I have a dream is the most famous phrase, isn't it? People can say that, I have a dream, and they immediately know who you're talking about. I think Paul had a dream in that reading from Ephesians that we looked at a moment ago. Because the thing is that Martin Luther King used that phrase, I have a dream, and his comments had energy and passion and the perseverance of someone who wasn't just saying, I have a dream in a hazy, wishful thinking sort of way. But he had a dream with a determination to give absolutely everything within himself to see that dream fulfilled. That same commitment is there in Paul, isn't it? That he would give everything to fulfill what Jesus had asked him to do. And remember these incredible words, because Paul has this higher than high view of what it means to be church. Remember these words? And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. And you can put in the words, which is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The church is the fullness of Jesus. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? You are the fullness of Jesus to this world. Do you feel challenged by that? Do you feel humbled? Do you feel excited? Or do you feel guilty? Because I don't know about you, but I don't think church has got there yet. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way? Is that Minehead Baptist Church? See, I like that. Not yet. Not yet. Well, let's unpack a little bit of what it might mean to be something along the lines of the church that Paul was describing. Could you just tickle the person next to you? Because I realise you've had a lot of information thrown at you this morning. Just make sure they're awake. Okay? Just quick. Okay? Thank you very much. Just to check that you're still there. Right. Please, could you not do it now for a little while? I might give you permission later to do some more. Right. The first thing I think church is about celebrating God's presence. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You know, the church is the place where we learn to explore and to celebrate what it means to follow Jesus. And it all begins and ends in Jesus, doesn't it? We can only begin to become what we are to be as church as we recognize Jesus' authority over our lives and his vision and his purpose being at the center of this new life that we're experiencing together. And our reading very firmly put it into focus, didn't it? It's not about us, it's about him. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you'll know him better. The fact is that to be the church which is filled with God's fullness, we simply need to be individually and corporately filled with God. That's it. It's really simple, isn't it? Simple, but sometimes we forget it. How do we do that? Well, by being open and willing to receive and be filled with God's Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus taught his disciples, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You may have heard the phrase that as Christians we leak. We're like, you know, buckets with holes in. So we might get filled with the knowledge of God, filled with his Holy Spirit, but eventually we empty of it. And we need to be refilled. And that's why in his teaching Paul says, be continually being filled. That's what it actually meant with the Holy Spirit. Be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this morning, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, not helium. I'm not going to confuse the metaphors there. But I need to be filled with the presence and the knowledge and the love and the joy and the hope of God once more this morning. And so do you. So do you. So church is a celebration of God's presence. I want to ask the question, do you share that dream? Do you share that dream? We'll see. We'll see. The second thing I want to say is church is about communicating God's word. Paul said these words, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work the Lord gave to me to do, to tell people the good news about God's grace. And Paul had a calling on his life to communicate the word of God. And his teaching emphasized the way in which communication is not just about words, is it? Yes, you've got to hear the words, but it's not just about words. It's also about your actions and how you live, what you do with this God stuff that's inside you. But it's also about your attitudes, because there's no point in doing it when actually you don't want to do it. It makes a big difference to how it communicates to other people, doesn't it? Our attitudes are also behind our actions and behind our words. So in our passage, Paul talks about it this way. Do you want to read it with me? Because, you know, I want to make sure you're still there. Okay. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, without getting too poetic, I think we can see here that the eyes of your heart are not just about your mind, are they? The eyes of your heart is bigger than that. That's why communication of God's word is not just verbal. It's about expressing the new life that we have through Jesus in ways that people can understand and that they can identify with. I was chatting to someone just before the service and we were talking about how sometimes even the smallest thing that someone does can say something huge. Either of acceptance and love or of division and you're not important. It's really interesting, isn't it? And we've all experienced that, haven't we, at one time or another in our own lives. You know, God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth, it says in 1 Timothy. And note here that the church is not an institution or a club. It's not about services or programs. It's actually about relationships. And it's interesting because everything I'm saying this morning, you could fit into what we're doing today, but it's not bound by what we're doing here today. Because church is bigger than services and getting together and all the rest of it. It's actually about who we are. Not just what we do together. We'll move into that. It's about unpacking all the riches of the inheritance that we have as God's people. All the promises that God has made And I don't know about you, but I know I haven't applied all of God's promises into my life yet. I've still got more to uncover and to bring into reality as I trust God with what he has said he will do in me and through me. And the depths and the reality of living with hope as a continual source of life and peace welling up from within us. You know, church is about communicating God's word and the wholeness of that. Taking God's promises and making them real in our own lives and in the lives that we come into contact with. Do you share that dream? The first one's easy. That one actually requires all of us to be changed. Becoming God's family. This is the one we can all relax in, because we like this one. This one's nice and easy, nice and gentle. Sort of. Read together. You are a member of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You know, Jesus expects anyone who has to come to know him to live in fellowship and relationship and friendship with other members of his body. That's just the way he set it up. And that's the way he teaches people grow and are to be. It's what Paul was commending in the love that he recognized in the church of the Ephesians at the beginning of our passage. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, for being the family together. That's what he was commending them for, saying it was important. Because the Ephesian church had learnt what it meant to love and care for one another. And they lived out their common life together. Not isolated and not individually or with individualism, which is one of the common curses of our age. And it's interesting that so much of the teaching in the New Testament is actually about how we treat one another. Did you know? Have you noticed that? So many of the words of the New Testament are about how we're supposed to get on together. They obviously had problems in the early church. You know how sometimes people say, wouldn't it be nice if we were like the New Testament church? May I just tell you, no, it would not be nice to be like the New Testament church in many ways, because they fought each other in open warfare, it felt like. That's why they had to put teaching into the letters about loving each other, forgiving each other, not beating each other up. There are aspects of the New Testament church I would love us to be more fully into. There are some bits of the New Testament church I'm really glad we've got over that one. Just think of the dear old Corinthians and the mess they got themselves into. But those words are there to teach us and to guide us in how we live in relationship together. How we create communities of faith which are built on forgiveness and respect and encouragement and acceptance and ultimately love, isn't it? That's what it's about. Each one of you is a part of the body of Christ, and you were chosen to live together in peace. Does church always do that? I want to say no. Church doesn't always live up to that ideal and that reality. Church can at times fail to be a reflection of Jesus. And people get hurt, don't they? Just as our bodies get hurt through life, you know, we break our arms. In fact, I broke my wrist in Minehead, coming off my bike, knocked off it, and just outside Tesco's. A few years ago. We get hurt, don't we, in life? and we have to recover. And you know, so the body of Christ can sometimes get hurt. And sometimes by other members of the same body. Just imagine the stupidity of that image. Hurting myself. That's the reality of it. But I want to say this morning, if that has ever happened to you at whatever level, I am sorry. And my apology on behalf of whatever part of the body of Christ has hurt you. And you know who I'm talking to. Now it may be, seem easy for me to say that, but I do mean it. Because we come across people who are hurt by all sorts of things in life. And some of the saddest places where people have been hurt is where they should have been loved. And they should have been cared for. One of the saddest things is when people get hurt by church, and because of that, they're then not able to receive the love and peace and comfort and joy and hope and all of the goodness of what it actually means to be the body of Christ. Isn't that awful? People might have a barrier to receiving all that they should receive in Jesus. Because I want to say, being a committed part of church is vital for our life as followers of Jesus. Billy Graham said these words, "Churchgoers are like coals in a fire. When they cling together, they keep the flame aglow, and when they separate, they die out." Good, isn't it? I like dear old Billy Graham stuff. If we're to be the fullness of what it means to be church, we need to discover the transforming power of living as his body together. And this is the aspect where all of our individual strengths and weaknesses start to come out, don't they? As we build genuine relationships and learn to live together in peace. Because church is about becoming God's family. You know by now. Do you share that vision, that dream? Growing God's people. You'll be very sort of pleased to know there's not a huge amount more. Shall we say together? Building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. Until all become full grown in the Lord. Growing God's people is about the aspect of church where we explore all of the repercussions of being touched by the living God. That's good, isn't it? All the repercussions of what it means. The supernatural Lord of the universe is here today to touch us. And he is not a tame God. He is a supernatural God. And the supernatural event that created us as new people in Jesus, that supernatural aspect needs to be part of what it means as we grow together. As we grow in the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I think you need both, okay? Think you need both, because you can have prophets who are right pain in the bum because they don't love people, and you can have people who love a lot but they're ineffective in their love because they fail to actually speak words of truth. Do you see what I'm meaning? We need both. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we need the fruit of the Holy Spirit combined. And inevitably, the Christian life is supposed to be marked by the supernatural. Remember a little bit from our passage, actually, because you can't ignore, we are being drawn into a supernatural experience as church. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. That's pretty supernatural, isn't it? And that's what we're connected to as church. You know, when Jesus was ministering in his day, he was ridiculed by the religious people, the nice people, the religious people of his day, because he directed his time and his energy towards those who were neither good nor seen as religious. And I love this version. It's from the Message. And you can read it with me, or you can just sort of hear it. Later, when Jesus was eating supper at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came and joined them. And when the Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company, they had a fit. And they lit into Jesus' followers. "What kind of example is this from your teacher, acting cozy with crooks and riffraff?" Jesus, overhearing, shot back, "Who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders." Isn't that a good version? It's great. I love it. The message is clear that God's love is available to all who need it, not to those who think they're already fine. As Nash says, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. And hospitals should be places where you go to be made better, shouldn't you? That's the theory. That's part of what being church is all about. That's why we're here together. By learning and worshipping and loving together, we find not only the wonder of a new relationship with God, but the power and the love and the care to help us to be more complete, to be made more whole. All of us are broken through life. God's joy is to put us back together again. I've got Humpty Dumpty in my mind. I don't know why, but it's that idea, isn't it? You know what Jesus came for? In fact, the Christian word salvation means wholeness. Salvation is about making us whole as people. So, church is about growing God's people. Do you share that dream? This is the last thing I want to say. It's about demonstrating God's love. If you're wondering why there are penguins on the screen, it's because I Googled love, and this came up. And I just thought it was cute, okay? So it's got no huge spiritual significance. I just thought it was cute, all right? So that's why you've got a picture of penguins snuggling each other. The New Testament says that part of this thing called church is about preparing God's people for the work of ministry. Work of ministry. Now, I've been motivated by some of our sharing recently when we've been exploring the fact that meeting as church like we are this morning is not an end in itself, but it's about equipping us to be church the whole of the rest of the week. That's why we're here, not for this, but for that. Your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. And as we draw together and enter God's presence, as we learn from God's word, and share the good and the bad of our lives, we're then sent out to demonstrate the love that we've experienced. To demonstrate it in all of the situations we face day by day. You know, that challenges the wrong thinking, which says church is about me and my needs being met and what I like and what I don't like by default. Challenges that self-centeredness. And it says we've got to be refocused on mission. We've got to be refocused on mission. I like these words from Charles Colson, who said this. Biblically, the church is an organism, not an organization. A movement, not a monument. It's not a part of the community, it's a whole new community. It's not an orderly gathering, it's a new order with new values and often in sharp conflict with the values of the surrounding society. Is that a good? I like that. Actually, you probably need to take it away and think it through, don't you? Because there's quite a lot in there. And our passage calls us to have this renewed confidence in the power of Jesus in us as his people. The church. We're the church. And as Ephesians continues, it takes that confidence that it talks about in the passage we're thinking of today, and it takes it into this mission that we've got to get out there and that we're called to fulfill as God's people. And Hebrews picks it up, the same idea. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another. Do you need to tickle the person next to you yet? Are you all right? You're okay, good. Let's encourage one another to demonstrate God's love. And to do that, we have to experience it first for ourselves, don't we? We have to know what it means to be touched by the love of Jesus. And as we experience it for ourselves, we become desperate for other people to know it too. Not just wouldn't it be nice for my friends and family and neighbours to be touched by God, but there is this inner compulsion. They've got to know what I've just received. They've got to know this fantastic Jesus for themselves. Touched by the same peace and love and power which has transformed us. Church is demonstrating God's love. You know the routine. Do you share that dream? That's pretty much all I wanted to say, which is probably far too much. How do you do? It's my first preach. I got excited. I'm sorry. It's about living this dream, isn't it? And I'm very conscious that I'm not actually sharing anything new this morning. Not anything I have said has been new. It's all there in the vision and values that the church adopted last year. But I don't know about you, but I forget. I get busy. Other stuff comes in. I forget what's actually important so easily. I forget the amazing privilege we have in being the church. Being called God's people. Isn't that incredible? I forget. Now, we may not have everything perfect yet. I want to say, we definitely haven't got everything perfect yet in being church. We never will on earth, will we? Because we're constantly changing and growing and sometimes messing it up. Let's be honest. We fail sometimes. But what we are called to do is to seek to go deeper, to reach further, and to grow into the vision of church that we've been exploring this morning. Remember the illustration of Martin Luther King, who brought energy and passion and perseverance to his mission, and in doing so was determined to see his dream become reality. To finish, let's return to the verse which inspired me in thinking about this morning. Let's read it from the Message version. Together. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the centre of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So, people of God, here are the final questions, which will require faith, energy, passion, and perseverance to see into reality. Church is a celebration of God's presence. And just in the quiet, answer this question for yourself. Do you share this dream? Church is communicating God's word. Do you share this dream? Church is becoming God's family. Do you share this dream? Church is growing God's people. Do you share this dream? Church is demonstrating God's love. Do you share this dream? I hope you do, because it's part of my dream.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.